The Arctic is warming faster than nearly anywhere else on Earth. Scientists estimate it is warming at roughly twice the rate of lower latitudes. That means the sea ice is increasingly unstable and unpredictable, which makes life in the Arctic difficult for many Inuit people who rely on stable sea ice for travel. Rather than give up and stay home, Inuit communities in Canada's far north have mobilized for resilience. They developed Smart Ice, an innovative technology that uses both stationary buoys and sensors that trail behind a snowmobile to gather data on ice conditions. That data, in conjunction with GPS technology, can give Inuit travelers information about the ice that can make the difference between life and death. For details, I'm joined now by Rex Halwell. He's Inuit and the North Production Lead for Smart Ice. He joins me now from Nain, the northernmost permanent settlement in the Canadian province of Newfoundland and Labrador, where he says the sea ice is crucial for their subsistence.
A lot of people here rely on seal for their food. A lot of people rely on Arctic char for fishing. And, you know, traditionally, like Inuit have always relied on sea creatures to feed them, and it's still the case to this day. The sea ice is our highway. If you can imagine you living in your little community, if you're only able to travel on your main street to the first stop sign, you're pretty limited on where you can travel. For us, it's the same way when we don't have sea ice. You know, when the sea ice finally comes in, it opens up our highway. So when the sea ice freezes in and it's nice and safe to travel on, it allows everybody to travel to go to their hunting grounds, to go get the seal, to go get the caribou. It gives you the freedom to go to areas that may not be hunted or over-harvested. So the sea ice is vital to our culture, not just for hunting, but I mean to be able to go out and to get seals and caribou and to harvest their furs and their skins to make traditional clothing such as sealskin boots and sealskin mitts. It's vital to the Inuit people.
Now, I don't need to tell you that the Arctic is really on the front lines of climate change. It's warming faster than any other region on Earth by many measures. Can you tell us, please, about the changes that you've seen on the landscape just in your lifetime?
One story that I always tell is when I was a young boy in Nain, the sea ice would sometimes be freezing in a harbor, sometimes as early as early December. And, you know, it would come in and freeze and stay throughout the whole year. But now, 2021, last year, it didn't freeze nice and solid and safe enough that people weren't actually traveling on the sea ice till it was almost the end of January. So, you know, in my lifespan from when I was a young boy to now, 40 years, I'm seeing that the sea ice is taking a month and a half later to form safely. So again, we're seeing it firsthand here. And, you know, when the sea ice isn't as thick, a lot of the people can't predict how the sea ice is as reliably as they used to back, you know, 40 years ago when we had warmer temperatures and a thicker ice. So people who have the traditional knowledge, they're unsure if their traditional knowledge will keep them safe because with climate change, it's making the sea ice so unpredictable that, again, those traditional ways may not be the right way anymore.
And so if those traditional ways aren't working and the sea ice is coming later and perhaps even thinning out earlier in the season, earlier, you know, towards summer, how does that affect people? I mean, you said that it makes it more difficult to get to their hunting grounds and to travel, but what does that actually mean in a person's day-to-day life?
So for a lot of people here, you know, in Canada's north, the cost of living is huge. So, you know, a good-sized seal will feed a family for 2 or 3 days. But if the sea ice isn't safe enough and that person isn't going out hunting for the seal, you know, they'll have to rely on a store. So just for the cost of, say, a tank of gas in their snowmobile and to feed the same family for the 2 or 3 meals that one seal would have cost them for the cost of a tank of gas, you know, that's going to cost them 3 to 4 times as much to buy the stuff in the store as opposed to being able to go out and harvest that seal to feed their family. Some of the older Inuit people say, you know, I don't feel full when I eat chicken or beef because, I mean, they've grown up eating seal their whole life. And it's more nutritionally dense. It has more nutrients and it's protein rich. So there is some truth to that. You can buy processed foods in a store that are not as healthy as seal meat or caribou meat. So we're finding with people getting away from their traditional diets, it's leading them into more health issues in the future.
Now, I understand that you are working on a really innovative solution to this problem of the ice thinning and coming later in the season and just being so unpredictable. Can you tell us, please, about Smart Ice and the goals that you have with this project?
So Smart Ice was actually founded because of climate change. Back in 2009, here in Nain, Labrador, where I am, we had rain in January in 2009 and 2010. in January. In January, in this area, it's supposed to be minus 40.
Wow.
So climate change led to the founding of Smart Ice. So what we do here in Smart Ice is we are a not-for-profit social enterprise. And one of the main things that we do is we manufacture a stationary ice measuring sensor that's actually made here in Nain, Labrador. And if you can just really imagine a 9-foot long thermometer that measures the ice thickness. And this is what the Smart Boy does. And we have a separate ice measuring sensor called the Smart Comedy. If you can imagine somebody towing behind a sensor on a sled behind a snowmobile, and as that person is operating this sensor, as they're traveling along, it'll tell them in real time how thick the ice is. So they can travel on the sea ice for, you know, as little as 20 minutes, or they can go. I just recently went for a ride yesterday that took me 8 hours long. And as I'm traveling along on the sea ice, you know, it's measuring the sea ice thickness as I'm traveling along. Then when I get back to my home base, it'll automatically upload the data into a website where everybody who wants to access this data is free for them to do so. And we try to get the data out to as many people as possible in the community. You know, we'll post it on Facebook, we'll print off images, and we'll put them up in the stores and in the post office. You know, a lot of people here in Canada's North don't have phones or internet. So we want to get the data to as many people as possible.
So just to be clear, if you are out and you have one of these sensors on your snowmobile, you can see in real time, okay, I'm maybe getting to a point that's unsafe, I should turn around. If you don't have one of these sensors and say you're planning a trip the next day to go out to your hunting grounds or something, you can just go to the local post office and look at a map and say, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't do this right now or plan a different route. Is that basically true?
Yes. It's just like a GPS. It's just like, you know, people using their phone. It's a tool that they can use to help make informed decisions when they're traveling on the sea ice.
Tell me more about how would people traditionally assess the ice to make sure it's safe? I mean, I've gone ice skating where you have to get out an axe and you measure how thick is the ice here, but you can't be doing that if you're traveling, you know, hundreds of miles potentially across the ice or maybe not that far. But what are the traditional ways of making sure that the ice is safe?
So traditional ways, you know, it actually doesn't vary much than what you were saying if you were traveling with your axe. You know, traditionally, if Inuit people were traveling on the sea ice, they would carry harpoon with them. And we always tell people, you know, if you're traveling along and you're not unsure of the ice, get off your snowmobile and you take your harpoon. And if you really stab the ice really hard, one strike, if it goes through, is not safe to walk on. If you have to strike the ice twice and it doesn't go through, then it's safe for you to walk on. And if you strike the ice three times with your harpoon, then it's safe for you and the snowmobile. So that's traditionally how they would check the ice. But, you know, Inuit people were more of an oral history teaching people. So, you know, a lot of the people who went out seal hunting on the sea ice, they learned from their grandfathers, from their fathers, from their uncles. It was just traditional oral history that it was passed on from generation to generation on how to keep safe while they were traveling on the seas.
Rex, a lot of what we know about the Arctic ice is from the perspective of oil and gas companies that want to know about shipping routes or scientists that are worried about permafrost and the emissions that can come with it. But Smart Ice is really a body of information by and for native people in the Arctic. These are people who are trying to live their normal lives while the world is quite literally changing around them, right in front of them. What does it mean to you and your community to have this kind of information made by you and for you?
That's a great question. You know, who better to have to handle these technologies and the new learnings and to interpret the data that comes from other agencies than somebody from your community? So that's one thing that we really believe in, you know, with Smart Ice operators, you know, we want the locals to do their routes because they know where the majority of their people go. So they want to do the routes that will help keep their people safe. One project that we're doing is we're actually using satellite imagery and we're trying to interpret it into usable maps for the people from the community. Like you mentioned, a lot of these maps that you can find online, they're not meant for people in their communities to go out to do their traditional hunts. They're for the ships to go into or past these communities safely. We're actually hiring on local people, teaching them how to read this data and how to take that data and to turn it into something useful that their community can use to help keep them safe, you know, while they're traveling on the sea ice.
Rex Howell is manager of Nunatsiavut's operations. Rex, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. I was glad to be here and to help spread the story of the Inuit people and what we do with Smart Ice.